Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Blue Magnetic Storm, and it is the first day of the Blue Storm Wave Spell. And it's going to be dramatically different for a while. I would say that the predecessor of White World Bridger is pretty antithetical to Blue Storm. So we have an experience of processing death, dying, stillness, crossing. The vast afterlife is bleeding over into our lives, and that is a place of spacious, non-determined emptiness. And Blue Storm is just all of this live wire, fire, water, convergence, kinetic, and dramatic, and it's transformative, which is a sort of overblown word that meant something a couple of decades ago, but now is used all the time for any description of things. But in Blue Storm, the transformation is into chaos. And then the chaos that we will journey through in this wave spell is transformational into bringing us peace and joy, because the metaphor of the storm is that it is addressing the buildup of pressure and stagnation and an overlay, this thick film of water condensation. And when there's too much of that in the sky, like the sky can't hold all those water molecules, then there is a dynamic shift that is explosive, cathartic, sometimes dangerous. It's a fireworks show in the sky. And then we have the deluge of rain, this downpour, all the release of the sky's high-pressured water molecules comes showering or thundering, crashing to the earth. And then after that, the sun shines again, shines into this open expanse of cleared sky and atmosphere. So I'll probably tell the story of the storm over and over again. Anytime it's relevant in the storm wave spell, we have storm years. I'm a blue storm person, so I'm pretty invested in explaining this process to others. Let me tell you about myself. Just to be clear on the timeline, today is Sunday, September 29th, the first day, Blue Magnetic Storm, and this will continue into October. It'll finish on a Saturday, 13 days forward. And in this time, we can expect in ourselves a certain kind of cathartic shift and upheaval. But I think just as relevant is being ready for it to happen in the world. The world is always either like your localized experience or the global one. It's all those layers in between. And that's why I think that the chaos of Blue Storm is often the intersecting chaos of like my personal emotional catharsis with some kind of cultural shift plus weather dynamics that become relevant in Blue Storm. And I feel like we kind of live in a blue storm existence on the planet these days because there is so much information that's transferred through the internet that we can be aware of upheaval all over the place. And in fact, that's what the media is driven by, is making us aware of upheaval because that is news. So we have this kind of perfect metaphor right now for 13 days of consciously experiencing what happens all the time. And yet I would expect that there's going to be increased volatility. And then sometimes, like I said, blue storm is really just, you know, it's the description of getting us back to light, back to warmth, back to ease, joy, the feelings that are associated with warm sunlight, like happiness, the smiley face of the sun, or just easefulness. So we just have to ride this train or wave and see, you know, where the pressure has been in ourselves, where the pressure's been in the culture, and where the release wants to happen. I believe the release is divinely guided. This whole storm exercise happened in the sky. The sky is a metaphor and maybe a factual place of spirit. And so we really do journey up into the sky and feel the alchemy that happens at the hands of a God force. I mean, I think that's a really kind of beautiful way to approach the concept of blue storm, is like, let's just take a ride with God and see how God shifts energy, how God transforms things that are hard, static, all the feelings kind of associated with being stuck, despair, disappointment. How does God take a hold of that and alchemize it, transform it, you know, guide us back to ease, but through a feeling state that is disruptive, but it's disrupting that stagnant depression. It's not disrupting our peace and ease. I think that's a really strong teaching about blue storm, because people resist bad weather, people resist strong personalities, people resist hard fate, and all of that is understandable. It's not a critique. But if we can take that little minute teaching that a hard fate or a crazy person in front of us is, you know, the disruption in our life, the sense of disturbance, or our own plateaus of inertia or hopelessness, all of that just looks like the condensation of feelings, the density of experience where we can't find air, light, spaciousness. Those are all metaphors for divinity. You know, when we have a life experience where we can't find God in it anymore, that's actually very much what I felt in the White World Bridger wave spell that preceded this. It's just like, I don't know where God is. Like, that's what dying feels like. I couldn't at certain points just find my way with guidance, find my way with insight, intuition, the sense of a voice beckoning me, or, you know, an energetic through line, like, this is where I'm supposed to go. Of course, I had glimpses of it because I was fighting to see it, but just that whole atmosphere of death is very isolating and feels challenging, because things are not in life force. Now, in blue storm, we're going to have so much life force that we're going to, you know, think of death as a restful relief, you know, if only we could have a little of that back. But again, all this balance is what we create when we follow the natural time counters, when we follow the Mayan teachings. My faith is that even though we open ourselves up to the consciousness of challenge, of difficulty, that in doing so, we don't deny it. And then we have balance in our lives, that a life is meant to be full of challenge and the overcoming of challenge. And that could be described as like a bad mood and a good mood. But that if we only want good moods, or we only want a non-challenging life, then we're totally in denial of the concept of life, of nature itself. If nature is full of seasonal shifts and disruptions, then why would humans be able to deny that? We can soften some of the extremity of the disruption of nature. That's why we build shelters. But to just sanitize ourselves so that we never have to have difficulty, that's what drives addiction and the denial behind it. It also drives a lot of the injustice on the planet, because those who maybe can afford it or have this like drive and power to try to comfort themselves the strongest with the most fortified homes or the rarefied lifestyles are taking away resources, and again, just the pendulum swings in their direction so that someone else has lack to pay for their overindulgence in security. So the wave spells and the cycles generally are just designed, if we follow them, if we roll with them, to create fairness and balance in ourselves and how we see the world, how we ready ourselves for the world, how we accept the world. You know, if we're not angry that there's something bad happening, but more examining it, seekers within that paradigm, like, well, what is this challenge about? You know, how am I to face it? Where is it inviting me to strengthen myself? What does this obstacle mean if I face it, integrate it, overcome it? That curiosity and that discipline, I mean, it makes for a richer life, which is what I'm advertising here, the real richness, which means there's a density of experience that's enlivening. Life becomes active and powerfully so. And so that engagement is kind of like drinking green juice. We revitalize our cells, our concepts, you know, the energy expressions that we have become emboldened and passionate. It's also like living an artist's life, which is why Jose Arguelles called it, his little slogan for it was time is art, which was a reference to time is money. And then in natural time, time is art. Like, it's an expression of someone who is creative and inspired and driven to express themselves freely and creatively. Like, I would say that doesn't have to be beautifully, that we don't have to use the word like it's pretty, but that it's all in, you know, the art that is created is full expression that comes directly from the core of the artist. And that's how you would live your life following these calendar cycles. So when we come to Blue Storm, I just think it has a lot of the truths of the whole gestalt. And part of the reason I think that is not because I'm a Blue Storm. In fact, that's been quite a liability for me in my life. But I think that because we have Blue Storm years every fourth year of the annual cycle that begins on July 26th every year, what we call our 13 moon year, the Mayan, true Mayan year. It's from the true ancient teachings of the Maya that the year would start at the time when Sirius rises with the sun at dawn, and that coincided on July 26th. And that was true for the Egyptians as well, that they began their year at that moment, even though the two cultures would not have had any interaction at the time that they chose that date, hallmarked it. But our years that begin on July 26th are always named for the correlating date in the Dzogchen, because the 13 moon year is separate from the Dzogchen, except that it, July 26th also exists in the Dzogchen, the 260-day sacred count that I always talk about in the podcast. So the year is named for the Dzogchen day that it begins on. And that takes us through 13-year wave spells, because each July 26th moves us, advances us one tone through the 13 tones. Man, if you've never listened to this podcast or exposed yourself to the calendar, what I just said was like a lot of encyclopedic downloading from the basics of natural time that I am not going to like backtrack and parse out, break down for you. I'm going to suggest that you keep listening, that you get one of the annual calendars from someone who publishes them, or that you purchase my book, Natural Time, where I really endeavored to kind of create a encompassing text for all these initial basic lessons. So there, you have those resources to look forward to. But for those who've listened a long time, I hope you can track that easily. That every year being one of the tones of the Dzogchen, so the 13 tones, we're going to have a magnetic year, a lunar year, electric, so on. We're in a magnetic year, the first of 13, but we don't move through all 20 of the tribes. That's just not the mathematics of 365-day year intersecting with a 260-day count. So we instead move through 4-day signs on each of the dates of the Gregorian year or the 13 moon year. Your birthday. That's a great way to bring the focus back to you. On your birthday, there is the tribe day that you were born to be. And then there is the earth family, your earth family, which is 3 other tribes that you also visit each time your birthday arises. But if we use the July 26th as an example, which might be the same as yours, because if there's 4 tribes in each earth family, that means there's only 5 earth families. Man, this is so out there. This feels very Blue Storm, where I feel like if it's a magnetic day and you're listening, I am just hurling information at you at light speed, and I feel apologetic. I feel very like, no, this is why being a Blue Storm is not easy for everyone in my midst. Great if you get it, but otherwise I understand. It's like the rain is beginning. It's driving hard. So I'll say that again. Each earth family, which indicates that any day of the year, any day that includes your birthday, as the years rotate, that day is only going to be one of 4 tribes. And so that's an earth family, those 4 tribes that cluster and rotate on a day, your birthday, for example. But because there are only 20 tribes, that means there's only 5 earth families. So any of us are going to belong to an earth family, one of 5. Now, please let me use July 26th as the example, because that makes it all grounded in a day. July 26th, the earth family oriented to that day. It's always going to be one of each colors of the 4 directions. So in the east, the red tribe is going to be red moon. The north, the white tribe is white wizard. And in fact, we're in a white wizard year that started July 26th. In the west is the blue storm, and in the south is the yellow seed. Now, the next thing I'm going to tell you really quickly is that these are sets of opposites or antipodes. So red moon is opposite antipode blue storm, and white wizard is opposite antipode yellow seed. And so what you'll find is in your earth family, there's going to be 2 sets of antipodes. This means that every one of us moves through, when we age, we spend 1 of every 4 years in our home tribe, and we also spend 1 of every 4 years in our opposite, our antipode, and that year can be considered especially growth-provoking for us. Okay, so I was kind of like a really beautiful, I think it was a very beautiful journey over to the side. But, you know, you can look into your Mayan astrology again through my book. You can have a session with me. This is not meant to be heavy advertising, but they're facts. If you're overwhelmed and you want more information, you can go on the internet, but you can also have like the old school book or the very like now present moment reading. Back to the podcast, centrally moving through time together. We are in a blue storm wave spell, but it also happens occasionally that we have a blue storm year. And I just sort of telecasting that our blue storm years are always the election years in the United States. So when everyone anticipates the 2020 election, just know that it's going to be happening in a blue storm year. And that's just interesting. That's just interesting because it feels kind of like it felt last time like a true storm. Okay, but overall, the blue storm wave spell is upon us. It's worth talking in depth about at the outset because I think you need to prepare yourself for it the same way you would prepare yourself for a storm, and that you can have some governance of it if you're in full acceptance of it. I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever in full acceptance at the beginning of a process, but maybe in abeyance to it, maybe in reverence to it, like, okay, this is a storm, I'm really going to actually prepare, versus like, I don't believe in storms, climate change isn't real, it's not going to be that bad, or, you know what, I'm just going to sit this one out, hell or high water. Like, I don't know, if you go into a certain kind of willingness for the storm to be stronger than yourself, the storm of this time to be stronger than yourself, then I think you get to actually be sheltered by the storm. That's a pretty strong metaphor for how we approach divinity. You know, like, okay, I'm in reverence and abeyance to this power greater than myself, and then it becomes a protector rather than an instigator of chaos, or, you know, feeling like a perpetrator in our lives. If you're in reverence and abeyance to your fate, does it shelter you differently than just tear you apart with its tragic, comic upheaval? So the eye of the storm, famously, right, it's a still place. The very center of the storm is stillness. And I think that's, as a blue storm person, you know, really where I try to live. I don't succeed. I have surges where I have no success with that. I have times when I have huge success with that. But I know that living at the fringe of my own experience, where I am interacting volatilely with the world, is not nearly as safe as retreating to the center of myself for my strength, where things are much more still. So we can check in through the wave spells, undulations with, well, how are you doing at being at the center of the storm? Because again, it's a little bit of arrogance and entitlement that comes with the very severe discipline of following this calendar, these calendars. It's such a chore, really, to indoctrinate yourself with these teachings, because they're complex, they're layered. I think they demand a lot of intellectual investment that pays off spiritually. But when you get that tenacity engaged, then you can have a blue storm experience that's informed. Whereas I believe, without being evangelical, I just believe in these cycles, that they are heaven-born. They're presented us by ascended masters, that it is a fate, that is it's a rhythm of the spirit world that's real. So that I believe that the whole globe will be affected by the blue storm wave spell, and the payoff for having the dedication to follow the Mayan teachings is that you can ride it out with awareness, acceptance of a sort, and that word reverence, abeyance, meaning humility, owning that you are not as strong as the forces of nature and not as strong as the God force. So that's exciting. That's exciting. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I think that I want to say, even if I don't, I feel bad because I don't really think people get that irritated with me talking about American politics. I think if it's my passion, it has a place here. And it's not my only passion, but I have the passion to be awake, and what's happening culturally, like, is so stormy just of itself, or so death driven when it's the white world major wave spell. Like, the cultural maelstrom here in the U.S. is sort of driven by death, and now it'll be driven by a storm, and after that, free will, which is terrifying to think about, and after that, it'll be driven by survival instincts and the red serpent wave spell. So we have a lot to work with here, or work on, or work through, or endure and face. And on the cultural level, it has all these tonalities. But what I want to say, I always say when we get here, is that if Sunday is blue magnetic storm, that means that Monday is yellow lunar sun, and that Tuesday is red electric dragon, and that red electric dragon is Bob Dylan's Mayan birthday. And I have to reference that aloud. This is part of the function of me having the podcast, is having a place to express things that matter to me synchronistically about the calendar. But Beto O'Rourke is also a red electric dragon, and that's been a lot of my interest in him, because Bob Dylan, I was raised to revere as a saint, or, you know, like a luminary. Doesn't mean he acted saintly, but he is like the prophet of my upbringing. And so it interests me when there's a synchronicity like that. And we have so many red dragon people running for office that I've talked about in past podcasts that I just like, well, I'm paying attention to that and the blue storm wave spell and the blue storm behavior of Bob Dylan or Beto O'Rourke. You may have no idea who that is. That's fine. You can reference Bob Dylan. Everyone knows who he is. He's a red electric dragon asking, how can I best be of service in the blue storm wave spell? And that is by being dynamically feminine, nurturing, bringing in the paradigm of the matriarch to counterbalance all the supremacy of the patriarch in colonial civilization, post-colonial. And that's interesting to me. And someone driven like Dylan, he is a storm. He's a storm because he lives in the blue storm wave spell by his birth. You can know that as well. Personal Mayan astrology, you live in the wave spell of your birth. Even if you have this assignation of a tribe that's oriented to your birthday, you are of the wave spell surrounding that. I was born on the fifth day of the blue eagle wave spell, and I have a lot of high intensity visioning, seeing things. I mean, I can't not see what's happening around me. I am completely on an emotional level stormy. I am disruptive in my way of moving through the world, but I am doing that in service to empower visioning, seeing the big picture for seekers that fly to the very edges of the atmosphere, trying to get a sense of divinity, trying to become angelic, you know, by lifting ourselves off the earth. That is surrounds and overwhelms my blue storm, blue overtone storm activities. So make sure you know and consciously orient yourself, awaken to the wave spell surrounding your birth. Okay, for the last couple of moments here, I just want to say, yeah, we're in the electric moon, the moon asking, how can I best be of service? We are not too far into it. We are in the northern week of passing through spirit, which I think is spacious, and there's a blessing that happens. There's an input that comes from spirit, you know, directing us to be of service in a certain way. You can probably notice there are people in your life who are wanting to be of service to you. You can notice your own inclinations of how you want to serve. You can notice if that question lives large, like, this is how I want to be of service. And it's for the whole year. So it has a pulse that's setting us up to actually take action and direction, and let that be an influence of how our year unfolds, that I would serve in this way. It's also a time when divinity comes and is present. I talked a lot about that in the last podcast, which is worth listening to if you need more info on the breakdown of what the electric moon means in terms of the presence of God in our lives. And so maybe it's more easeful than the lunar moon of challenge. Like, I think hope comes back. If I can just flip back to the really obvious cultural, political lessons happening in the U.S., there is way more hope than there was in the lunar moon for those of us who have just felt subjected to bullying and an absolute ascendance of supremacist patriarchal values for years now. There's suddenly like, oh wow, does this run of radical insanity have the possibility of waning? Yes, like right now there's this little bit of hope. And I think that feeling of hope just is a perfect example of how the lunar moon, the challenges that are forcing us to face obstacles, all that unfolds so tightly in the lunar moon, and then there's room in the electric moon for something else to emerge, which feels like safety, distance, relief. So I wish you a safe wave spell. I would reassure you from the center of my blue storm self that anything that shakes you up, shakes up your surroundings in this time, is moving you towards ultimate joy and ease. I think I say that every wave spell, like whatever's dying now is to make room for new life. That was the White World Bridger wave spell. And before that, we had Red Skywalker. You know, you go up into the sky and live detached from the earth so you can come back to the earth with this beautiful anointing, this lesson of truth that the spirit world gave you. Every wave spell is like, you move through the challenge so that you can attain the ease. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.